Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, May 20th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are higher to start a new week. July corn futures up 2.25 at 454 and three quarters. July soybeans up 6.25 at 1234 and a quarter. July Chicago wheat up 19.25 at 670 and a half. July Kansas City wheat up 18.25 at 680. July spring wheat up 15.25 at 726 and three quarters. Looks like the rains are back.
They sure are. So the radar was active on Sunday and remains active into this morning. Some severe weather was noted over the weekend, and severe thunderstorms are possible in many areas again today. An active weather pattern is slated to persist through at least the next 5 days. The wettest areas are likely to include eastern South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Missouri, western Illinois, southern Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. Eastern Kansas, Arkansas, and the Mississippi Delta will also see rain. Planting delays may continue in areas that were unable to plant during the last 5 days.
All eyes will be on this afternoon's crop progress report from USDA. Through last Sunday, which I believe was the 12th, we had 49% of the U.S. corn crop planted, which is behind average. And we're behind average, of course, because it's been wet. This afternoon, could you see 65 to 70%? I think it's possible. I think a lot of corn was planted last week. We had kind of a window in a lot of areas that lasted 4, 5, 6 days, depending on the location. I know a lot of areas are still wet, but just anecdotally, what I have heard is that a ton of progress was made. And now the rains are back, and there's still some areas that are going to be drier here. You look at northern Indiana, may not see much here the next 5 days. Northern Ohio, parts of Michigan, not going to be wet everywhere. But generally speaking, we've got a wet trend for the next 10 days. It's going to be a lot more active. So the window is kind of behind us now. And if you haven't finished planting or you're not close to finished planting, you're going to start to hear chatter about prevent plant and that sort of thing. I don't think it's premature to talk about that, or at least talk about it. So active weather here for 10 days, the way it looks.
Fund traders continue to trim their net short position in the corn market. CFTC released weekly commitment of traders data on Friday. So during the week ending May 14th, the funds were net buyers of 32,000 contracts of corn. Since April 16th, the funds have trimmed their net short position in the corn market by 210,000 contracts. Funds were net sellers of 2,000 contracts of soybeans. Funds were net buyers of 15,000 contracts of SRW wheat on the week. Since April 16th, the funds have trimmed their net short position in the SRW wheat market by 66,000 contracts.
The big short covering event in quotes is over, and now you've got modest shorts in the market. And now the question would be, do the funds actually decide to go long the grain markets or net long the grain markets? And that's going to be a function of weather, probably. You've seen a big time short covering event. These three contracts combined, corn, soybeans, SRW wheat funds, now short combined 124,000 contracts in net. That position was larger than 500,000 at one point, just like a month ago. So it's been a very substantial short covering event. Premium subs, you have the fund tracker charts in your email this morning where we've got this chart broken down by crop. Make sure you check that out.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you sure need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about some videos from last week?
Last night was our first pre-open weather update of the season. So for about 8 weeks from this time through about mid-July, Pete Meyer is going to be on Sunday night at 6 p.m. before the markets open with a pre-open weather update. He's going to talk about weekend weather. He's going to talk about any change in the forecast, and he's going to talk about what that means for the market. So if you're a decision maker in your farm operation, you have to be watching this, because by the time we're here talking about it on Monday morning, it may be too late. There may be marketing decisions that need to be made, in short order. And I think that the sooner you know, the better. These have always been the most popular videos I've done. I'm kind of backing off and taking Sundays off this summer, but Pete is stepping in. He did an excellent job last night and will continue to do an excellent job. Shay was on Thursday last week, 3% better. How can you improve your farm business? Shay had three ways in which he believes you can improve your farm operation by 3% in terms of your financials. And then Friday, we did a social media circus, which is kind of our fun video that we do every 2 weeks. We're going to be back to business today. I've got a full grain marketing review, outlook, target orders, everything I've advised for corn, soybeans, wheat, cash marketing, broken down by crop, crop year, and percentage. That video will be out at 10 a.m. Central. You guys got to jump on the premium subscription. If you're at this point, if you're not watching what we're doing and you're not seeing what we're doing, you're missing out because everybody else is watching it. So go to standardgrain.com, sign up this morning. It's a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. This is just a ton of info direct from us every single business day. We don't want your futures business. We don't want to market grain for you. We're just going to send you out a bunch of info. So check that deal out this morning. I will blast you over a copy of this morning's email, which includes our 7 or 8 most recent premium videos. We had a ton of stuff in there this morning. So check that deal out, guys.
Russia's wheat exports are expected to be mostly unchanged from last year. According to the Russian Union of Grain Exporters, the country's 24-25 wheat exports are anticipated to reach 46.9 million metric tons, slightly lower than last season's 47 million metric tons. May frosts have caused 8 regions across the country to declare a state of emergency due to damage and destroyed crops. It's projected that about 2.2 million acres will need to be replanted because of the frosts. Dry conditions in the southern part of Russia are also negatively impacting crops.
Okay, so you can't replant winter wheat in May. Their export number, 46.9, is a little bit below USDA at 52. I wouldn't read too much into that disparity. The concern now is not the frost that's already happened. It's what we've got going on right now and moving forward. The weekend was dry in Russia, Ukraine. They've got a dry forecast. Soil moisture is well below normal in a lot of areas, and there's just not material rainfall in the forecast for the next 2 weeks. So that's why the wheat's been kind of rallying on these overnight sessions. And then during the day, it seems like somebody comes in and sells it. We'll see if this rally today is able to stick.
25 biofuel organizations are calling for updated guidelines on the 45Z tax credit. The groups who sent a letter to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen are also requesting any updated GREET models. Guidance on the tax credit and an updated GREET model were released back on April 30th, but along with that release, the IRS said a new 45Z GREET model would be developed. The 45Z tax credit is set to take effect on January 1st of next year. According to the biofuel groups, if the updated guidance and GREET model continue to be delayed, it could threaten the production of low-carbon renewable fuels.
We could really use this information. Vilsack said it was going to be out on the 15th, and he was obviously not correct about that because we still haven't seen it. The update that we saw, 3 weeks ago was related to 40B, which is really not going to be any good after this year. So this is 2025 stuff, and it would be nice to know, you know, if I need to change my farming practices in order for my corn to be carbon friendly or whatever, like, what do I need to do? We need the guidance. We need it now. This is something you guys got to continue to push on when it comes to, you know, your trade groups and that sort of thing. I mean, they've really got to get this sorted out.
Oil prices have risen amid lower U.S. crude inventories. Last week, crude stockpiles fell for a second consecutive week, declining by 2.5 million barrels. As a result, WTI crude surpassed $80 per barrel on Friday. Year to date, WTI has gained 10.6%. Economic data signaling that inflation may be easing also caused oil prices to rise last week. The data fueled optimism that the Fed may cut rates in September. And of course, that would stimulate the economy and increase crude oil demand.
The crude oil price itself is not overly interesting, sitting here about $80. We've been kind of range bound. I'll tell you what is interesting is this Bloomberg Commodity Index, which is a basket of commodities that are tracked. There are a lot of commodities that were really strong last week. We had a big move to the upside in the commodity index. Some of the stronger ones: orange juice, silver, natural gas, platinum, copper, palladium, coffee, gold. All those markets were up sharply last week. And we've got, I believe, a breakout on this chart, at least the way that I have it penciled. And charting is subjective, of course. You can draw these trend lines however you want. But this is overall perhaps friendly, just commodities in general. Maybe if they think there's more inflation coming, maybe they want to be long commodities. Maybe the funds want to be long commodities. Maybe that's part of what's going on with some of this stuff. I don't know, but it does look a little bit better. And if you were to see an upside breakout, a clean upside breakout on this chart, that probably does bode well for grain markets, maybe the cattle market, maybe livestock. I don't know. What did cattle do last week?
They had a great week. Feeders closed an average of 203 higher on Friday. For the week, they were an average of 787 higher. Live cattle closed an average of 121 higher on Friday. Week over week, live cattle were an average of 392 higher. Cash cattle prices had an impressive week also. In Kansas, cattle sold at 186, which was $2 to $3 higher from the prior week. Up here in Nebraska, cattle sold at 190, $3 to $4 higher from the previous week. Over in the Western Corn Belt, we saw cattle sell at 191, which was $3 to $5 higher from the prior week. Box beef also had a great week. On Friday, choice was $3.30 higher to close at $3.1345. That was up $18.88 for the week. Select gained 89 cents on Friday to end the day at $2.9740. That was up $13.23 for the week.
U.S. dollar's about flat this morning. Stocks are just fractionally higher. Bonds about flat. Gold's up 24 bucks. Silver is also sharply higher. Crude oil is down 19 cents in the July WTI at $79.39. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.